Hello. I think it's time for us to wake up. How about that? Would that work for you? I don't know if you ever watch the St. Paddy's Day Parade. It's, tell you the truth, being Irish as I am, it's one of those parades I really love. And I look forward to seeing my countrymen walking up and down Fifth Avenue there. But as I saw the parade this year, I was thinking of this morning's sermon, which also talks about great crowds of people lining along the streets about 2,000 years ago when Jesus was carrying his cross on the way to Calvary. And there were all kinds of people there, obviously, and they were looking on to see what was going on with Jesus. They had heard of Jesus. He was very well known in his own way. He had fame because he would preach things that had never been heard in Israel before, never been heard under the foot of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire hated every minute of Jesus preaching because it wasn't getting people roused up in the sense that they were ready to overthrow Rome. It was changing their hearts. It was getting to the point where they could be terrorized, that they could be tortured, that they could be threatened, but they did that without fear. And they did something even more amazing. Not only were they fearless, but they were filled with love for their enemy. This was startling 2,000 years ago. And I think it's probably pretty startling today when we don't hate. Just seems like there's so much hate going on, amen? Just seems like we're so divided. So many people, if you take one particular political stand, you're disliked by those with a different political stand. It's ridiculous. And it's the way that the enemy can divide our country. So there was a man standing in that crowd. There was nothing special about him. He was just an ordinary guy. And yet, God had a plan for that man. So I'd like to turn in our text this morning, Mark chapter 15, and read the story of this individual who was memorialized in Scripture because of this event. Mark chapter 15. Beginning at verse 15 and going down to 22. Let's stand together. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him. He had whipped him, beaten him to be crucified. It wasn't enough. They had to prepare Jesus for the torture by torturing him. 16, and the soldiers led him away to the hall called the Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. When they had clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews," not in that way. "Hail, King of the Jews," like we believe you are. Like, who do you think you're kidding? Verse 19, and they smote him on the head with a reed, and they spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him onto the place Golgotha, which being interpreted is the place of the skull. Thank you. You may be seated. From the lofty courts of the Roman governor to the lowly streets of Jerusalem, Jesus treads his way to the hill called Golgotha, it really was a garbage heap. You ever been in Staten Island driving along the expressway, the Wilshire Expressway? You see these huge hills. You say, I didn't know Staten Island had so many hills. That's just garbage that's been piled up for years, covered over with soil. But they had a garbage heap like that where people came and threw their garbage, and that's where Christ was going to be crucified. How much more indignity could Creator of the universe have to deal with to demonstrate his love for us? So think about it. Just kind of use your imagination to get that picture of Jesus taking this cross upon his shoulders and walking and stumbling and almost crawling through the streets of Jerusalem. What's he got across his back? He's got this heavy object, a cross. People look at it and they know what it is. They know it's a cross and they know what it means. It means this is the place where slaves who have run away, and this is the place where criminals who have stood up against Rome, this is the place where they wind up. This is the place where they will die. What's he doing on there? Everything the people knew about Jesus, they knew that just didn't equate. There was no way that a cross should be his destiny when he had done so much to lift up their spirits, change their lives, heal them, encourage them, love them. The cross is so heavy that Jesus can't bear it all. He falls. He stumbles. They yank somebody out of the crowd, and he's lifting the cross onto his strong back. Jesus no longer carries the burden of the cross alone. No longer carries it by himself. This act of mercy, whatever the motivation, has immortalized Simon Cyrene in history on the pages of Scripture. Now think about it. How many times have certain names appeared in the Bible? God. How many times do you think the name of God the Father are mentioned? Well, I'll give you the answer. 10,000 times. Or Jesus, 1,400 times. Or the Holy Spirit, over 1,000 times. Moses, a little over 800 times. Peter, 183. Paul, 180. How many times is this boy mentioned? Simon, 3 times. 3 times in the Gospels. His story is amazing, but the quantity of the number of times that he was mentioned does not diminish the quality of his actions nor the lessons that we can glean from what happened that morning. Simon's story brings us face to face with the cross of Jesus Christ. And we'll examine the meaning of the cross literally, figuratively, and spiritually this morning so we can understand it personally. That's not just some object, even though that's how it would be defined. It'll be defined as an object, a heavy burden. But the reality is this, it means so much more to us. And if we can see that this morning, we will have accomplished something wonderful. The cross, when understood spiritually, is the central theme of our faith. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Think about that. This is the place where Jesus died. This is the place where he shed his blood. What does that mean to you this morning? What does it mean to me? Can our understanding be expanded to love him even more by the time we hit those back doors? When applied literally, a cross is defined as a heavy object, a burden. Figuratively, the dictionary says a cross is an affliction that tries one's steadfastness and patience. Jesus tells a young man in Mark chapter 10, take up your cross and follow me. And Jesus' cross was a heavy, burdensome load. A cynical observer of Simon's intervention in Jesus' struggle to carry the cross would suggest the soldiers did not enlist Simon to help lift Jesus' burden. Rather, they feared Jesus would die attempting to carry the cross, or they felt he wasn't moving fast enough. But the reality is something different. There is a beautiful lesson for us, and the lesson is this: life's crosses are never borne alone for the believer. You've been through so much in your lifetime. Many, many of your challenges and your burdens in your life, I know because you've shared them with me. I've looked in your eyes. I've prayed with you. I've laid hands on you for the answer to those things. Everybody has gone through something. But as a believer, you haven't gone through it alone. And I've shared Jesus with so many people, very ill, very sick, and told them that you don't have to be in this sick bed all by yourself, that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be with you at a time like this. God knows the limit of your endurance. When you reach that moment, he's present and he's there, and the Holy Spirit will enable you to get through whatever that thing is that's oppressing you now. Simon's carrying Jesus' cross didn't change what was going to happen. By virtue of the fact that he was yanked out of the crowd and made to carry that heavy cross all the way to the rest, to Calvary, didn't change the fact that Jesus was going to die on there. And the reality is for us that you will find in your life that God will either change the circumstance of your life or change you. Sometimes the circumstance can't change. Sometimes you're going to have to live with something for the rest of your life. But God is going to go through that time with you. So many times we want to be able to pray about it and get it gone, get it over with. Some things will go like that, and some things won't. But God's made a promise that he will help you get through whatever it is that you're getting through, even though it seems insurmountable to get through it. Now, how many of you have experienced just that kind of a thing? You never knew, you never thought that you'd get past that particular thing, only to find out that you got past it. And you're here today. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, which we just read, reveals 10 things to remember when burdens threaten. Number one, Jesus wants to help lift your heavy load of care. The yoke referred to in that scripture, in verse 29, speaks of the teachings of Jesus, which are represented as being light in comparison to the burdensome teaching of the Pharisees. All they wanted people to do was follow their words. The Pharisees would say one thing and do something else. The Pharisees would make, they're like the high priests. They would make demands out of the people in their congregation to do things that the Pharisees couldn't do themselves. They demanded that they live up to commandments that the Pharisees themselves couldn't live up to. Well, we're not here to live up to somebody's standards. We're here to live up to what God desires of us and what Jesus paid the price on Calvary for. He's paid the price. We don't have to pay the price for our sin. His blood has already been shed for your sin to wash it away. Not cover it up, but wash it away. He's paid the price for your guilt, for your shame. All he asks us to do is to trust in him. Scripture tells us something wonderful. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Do you believe that? Two, burdens of your life pass through Christ's nail-scarred hands before they come to you. He doesn't cause them. He allows things to happen to you. But he knows that when this thing comes to you, you and he will be able to get through it together. And he will often say to you, taste and see that God is good. And he will say to you, try me. Give me a shot. Let me prove to you that I love you and that I can get you through this. Trust me. When you're weak, I am strong. And trust my strength to carry you and to get you through this. If you are too weak to hang on to him, he's not too weak to hang on to you. He's so strong that he won't let you go. He's promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Number three, burdens come by God's appointment. In his time and as part of his plan for your life, there's something for you to learn from what you're going through at this point. Whatever that trial or tribulation is, there's something for you to learn. What is it? Have you ever asked the Lord, teach me what it is you want me to learn from this particular event? Is there something I've been missing all this time? Have I not been sincere? Have I not been honest? Have I not really loved you? Have I not really done the things you would have me to do? Have I run away from you? What is it I can learn in this time? When burdens come, number four, you're in God's care. It's in God's nature to care for his creation. The Bible talks about how he takes care of the birds. The Bible talks about how he takes care of animals. The Bible talks about he takes care of all of his creation. He takes care of you. And what does it mean to have the creator of the universe say, I want to take care of you? Well, I think it means everything, if you believe it. So the whole test here is whether we can trust God to get us through life's burdens. Number five, as burdens come, God is in control and holding you up. You feel like things are broken in your life? Well, God's in the repairing business. You feel like you're hurting? God's in the healing business. You feel like you're discouraged? God's in the encouraging business. Don't quit and don't give up. For every one of your maladies, God has an expertise on the other side. And he wants to exercise those things that he will do in your life if you trust him. And that's something that you can learn from your problems and your trials and your difficulties. Am I trusting you enough, Lord? Am I giving it over to you? Have I stopped trying to drive it and let you drive for me? 6, some burdens come to us as a surprise. Simon was pressed into action. He wasn't prepared for that. He was just yanked out of the crowd. And think about it. The cross is already has blood from the whippings of Jesus. And Simon gets close enough to Jesus as he's lifting that cross to actually look into his eyes, to actually feel his breath on his ear, to actually feel the blood that's been draining from Jesus' body. What toll does that take on somebody's psyche? Can you imagine you being pulled out of the crowd to lift that cross? How would you take that? How would you deal with it? It's unexpected. It's unwanted. But God will turn that into something beautiful. 7, when God sends you a cross, take it up and follow him. You can't outrun your situation. You can't escape where you are on your own. It takes God to help you change your direction. It takes God to help you get into his word, to be comforted and to be encouraged and to be challenged. It takes God to help you reinvent yourself in certain situations or change direction. Sometimes we're going along and we're going in the wrong direction. And God sometimes uses these difficult situations to change our direction. Are you sensitive to that? 8, remember, dark times are but a shadow of God's wings hovering over you. When storm clouds hover over you, remember, the sun is just behind the clouds. And sooner or later, like this morning, the sun is going to break through. Can you hold on long enough for that? Well, God will help you hold on. Sooner or later, the sun is going to break through and you're going to be warmed by it. You're going to be nourished by it. You're going to be encouraged by it. 9, some burdens are self-imposed. It used to be said that we can be our own worst enemies. Amen, anybody? You could be your own worst enemy. The three-letter word from one of the verses we read was let. Let not your heart be troubled. Let is defined as to give opportunity to enter. So when you've given opportunities for something to steal your joy, disturb your peace, crush your spirit, or dissolve your love, it's time for you to take action. What you let in, you can let out. What you let in, despair, fear, anxiety, stress, you let it in. Now push it out. If you keep saying things are going to be bad, guess what? You stand a good chance of becoming a prophet. Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Your thought life is so powerful. Your attitude is so powerful. If you want to feel down and out, and if you want to feel overwhelmed, and you want to feel like you can never recover, if you want to feel like things are going from bad to worse, that's a choice you're making. And the Bible says if you use that mentality as you think in your heart, you've got it committed to yourself that you're going to see this in the most negative possible terms and leave the whole fact that behind the dark clouds of this issue, there stands the Lord. And he's ready to break through those clouds and that despair and those negative thoughts, or as I like to put it, your stinking thinking. That he is there to open up the clouds and come and be with you. 10, Christ bore your burden of sin upon himself alone on the cross, not his sin, not his shame, mine and yours. His was the only burden that out of necessity had to be borne alone. Yours don't. His did. He was the only one that could be on that cross and be a sacrifice for you and me. What transpired on the cross? The cross of Calvary is where heaven and earth met. The cross of Calvary is where sin and Satan were defeated. The cross of Calvary is where man did his very best and God gave his, where man did his very worst and God gave his very best. Where Satan thought for sure he had Jesus defeated. He thought for sure it was finished. And Jesus was the one who would dictate what was finished and what wasn't finished. But man did the worst he could do to Jesus, and Jesus gave his life. He gave the best he had for us. The cross of Calvary is where eternal life is marked for those who receive what Jesus did there. The cross of Calvary is where eternal separation from God in the fiery real place called hell is marked for those who reject Jesus' sacrifice on that cross. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. The question is, will you let Christ lift your burden today? And that's a choice only you can make. It is about choices. How you handle life's disappointments and distresses and stresses and anxiety and all of those issues are in your hands. The direction that you will take, whether you will trust Christ to help you get through, to bring people into your lives that will be good counselors, to bring words into your life that are encouragement, to bring scriptures to your memory that will help lift you up and give you the strength to carry on. All of those things are found between you and Christ, and all of those things are a matter of what you will let and what you will let out. Closing thoughts. Three crosses on a lonely hill, a thief on either side, and in between the Son of God. How wide the gulf. Yet one thief spanned with the words, "Lord, remember me." The other scoffed and turned aside to be lost in eternity. Forsaken is the hilltop now. All the cross is gone. But in believing hearts, the center cross lives on. And still, as when these sentinels first met earth's wandering view, the presence of the Lord divides. On which side are you? Are you the thief on the cross who rejected Christ? Or are you the thief on the cross who accepted Christ? Not just for your salvation, but for your everyday living, to put your faith and your trust in your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in your hands. Let's pray. So this morning, Father, as we remember Simon and we remember his carrying the burden of the cross, we remember you, Lord, carrying our burdens, our burden of sin, our burden of shame, our burden of negative thinking, going on the wrong course, stepping on the wrong steps. This morning, Father, I just pray you would strengthen our grip of faith in you. We know, Lord, you're never going to let us go. Help us to never let you go. Help us to be strong and help us to be encouraged and inspired by the truths found in your word. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.